Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
When I say, can you dig it, put your two hands up like that. Can you dig it?
Here we go.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Can You Dig It, a podcast by SilverScreenAndRoll.com. I am Christian Rivas, back from vacation. And even before I went on vacation, Jacob, it had been a little while since we had podcasted because of the All-Star break. Really, because the Lakers were on vacation too.
I was going to say the whole podcast like network, the Lakers, Silver Screen Roll took a week off. We all enjoyed the All-Star break. We hope you guys enjoyed the All-Star break. Christian's All-Star break went a little bit longer than the Lakers, but we're back and we're ready for hopefully what will be a long second half, because that means we'll be back in the finals, hopefully.
I did an interview during the All-Star break, and it was funny because the person I did an interview with is also an NBA writer, and I told him that it was going to be hard for me to do a phone call because I didn't have any service where I was staying. I got a spot at the Sequoia National Park for like the last 4 days. That's how I spent my vacation. And so for Verizon customers, there's zero signal out there. I read about the signal problems out there, and it said, if you have Verizon, you will not have any signal in explicit terms. I took that as maybe I'll have one bar. I had no signal, zero. And so we ended up doing a Zoom call, and during the call I was like, yeah, I'm just enjoying like my All-Star break vacation. And he's like, buddy, the All-Star break ended 3 days ago. I was like, yeah, you know, If I don't see it, it's not happening.
Which, speaking of, you did not see the Lakers. I was going to say since we last podcasted, but again, nobody podcasted last week. But the Lakers played on Friday, so, and won against the Pacers, which I don't believe you saw any of, did you?
No, I did not. All I saw was I very rarely checked my phone while I was out there, because God knows I'm on my phone every waking moment I'm up.
And it sounds like you really couldn't, even if you wanted to.
You know what I was able to see is Eric Lamella's worldie against, yes, Arsenal. That's like the first thing I saw when I got signal again this morning and started going on Twitter. Like, oh my God, this is 100% Puskas front runner right now. I don't know if there's been a goal better than it. Like, without getting too far off track, Jordi Alba's almost goal in the Copa del Rey semifinal would have rivaled that, but it didn't go in. So Lamella has a bit of an edge there. But yeah, that was crazy. I missed that Svi got traded. Apparently,
I was about to say this took a hard turn to a soccer podcast there. For I am sorry for you guys that are not soccer fans, because there were a lot of words in there that I'm sure you guys did not know. Svi did get traded, which literally you found out about like 2 minutes before we went live.
Right.
Which, I mean, I watched Svi play on, they played the Hornets on Thursday, I believe. He started, it was a rough shooting night. He's going to Oklahoma City. I really just want all the baby Lakers together somewhere. I was kind of joking about this with Harrison and Sabrina. It might have been Thursday as well, but there was like Larry Nance may or may not be available. The Pelicans are a team that have one of a lot of teams that have inquired about him, and I said something that along the lines of I just want them all together again. Just put as many of them as you can on the same team. Trade them all to New York since Julius is thriving there. MVP Julius. I think he had another triple-double yesterday or Saturday when you guys are listening to this. So just put them all back together. I mean, the Pelicans absolutely routed the Clippers. You love to see it on Sunday night. Lonzo played incredibly well. Ingram played well. Josh Hart played well. I love seeing all those guys thrive, basically. So I just want them all on the same team, so it's a lot easier to keep up with them.
Listen, I understand Kyra Lewis is doing his thing with the Pelicans right now. I didn't watch the Pelicans-Clippers game, but I heard he looked active, if not good, against the Clippers. But that being said, Alonzo Sweet backcourt would be a lot of fun, and I'm all for it.
Shout out to Kuzma, who apparently has never watched a single second of Chino Hills, because on – you probably missed this as well. Again, Saturday night. I'm trying not to confuse you guys that are listening. Saturday night, Kuzma tweeted – as LaMelo was playing really, really, really well for the Hornets, he was like, I wonder what a Zoe and LaMelo backcourt would look like. And his entire replies were like, bruh, Chino Hill highlights are on YouTube. Right. It'd be a lot of fun. I mean, I know Melo obviously isn't a former Laker. Just throw him on that team too. I mean, he's enough fun as is. He's from the area. They were supposed to be Lakers. Just throw him there as well.
That was like the other day I tweeted in jest, imagine a Kyrie Irving and Jason Tatum on the same team. They'd be unbeatable.
Yeah, that would be something. Like, in Kuzma's defense, I do think in the NBA, Alonzo LaMelo backcourt would look really good. But the way he tweeted it just set himself up to get a whole bunch of it was just pictures and highlights of like the Lonzo and LaMelo winning a state title in Chino Hills together.
Yeah, I think LaMelo has shot up at least 6, maybe 7 inches since
it's hilarious
they last shared a backcourt.
Just go look at his quote tweets or his replies to that, and you'll see the picture of Lonzo and LaMelo. LaMelo looks like he's like 8 in that picture.
I mean,
like,
he basically is.
Yeah, he was an eighth grader, however old that would be, like 14, I think, is because he was playing up a year to be on the team with Lonzo. So he's like 14 or so. He looks about half that. So he's grown, I would honestly say it's probably closer to like a foot. And just he looks older. Maybe it's something to do. He got rid of that, whatever that hairdo he had forever was. He got rid of that. And I guess just growing a foot makes you not look as baby-faced in general.
Going back to Kuzma for a second, as the resident Kuz stan at Silver Screen and Roll, I was delighted to see Kuz's stat line. I haven't even watched the highlights yet. So, you know, what a stan I am. But it looked like he had a good game. I heard Alex Caruso got a concussion. And beyond that, what did I miss?
I'm going to ask you an important question. I need to apologize to everyone that it's this deep into the first podcast since it happened and we haven't mentioned it. Did you see any Kyle Kuzma quotes after the game?
I did. Yeah. And even if I didn't, I don't think we could say that quote on the podcast.
I was quickly looking up how to direct them towards what Kuzma said. In a way only Kuzma could, he described his fourth quarter on Friday. The eye test matched the box score. I can tell you right now, I can sort it. He did most of his scoring in the fourth quarter. He had 15 of his 24 in the fourth. He was incredible in the fourth quarter. The Pacers are, as the Pacers are currently constructed and as the Lakers are currently constructed, that was a tough matchup because the Pacers have Miles Turner and Sabonis.
Right.
And the Lakers have Damian Jones and Montrezl Harrell. And that is the entirety of their front court right now. Well, Keefe, excuse me. But Keefe only played 19 minutes. That was an impressive win, I thought. Especially, as you said, they lost Caruso. That looked rough. I don't know if you actually saw the how he got it.
I did not. So, a confession, I typed in Alex Caruso concussion on Twitter, and I yielded no videos.
fair enough. He went diving after a ball, a loose ball. He was sliding on his butt and hit, I don't know what Pacer player it was, and his head just kind of bounced off the floor. You could tell pretty much right away that it was not good. He's in concussion protocol, whatever the phrasing is. I know the Lakers announced on Sunday. Hopefully he's back soon. But, yeah, the main takeaways from that Pacer game were Kyle Kuzma was good. Trez looked back to his former self. He was 8 of 11. And they really – I don't want to say they did it in spite of LeBron and Schroeder, but those two only shot 8 of 24 overall, and they still won the game despite being undermanned. So, I thought it was an impressive win. Shout out to the Pacers for literally – they had the ball with a chance to tie the game with, I want to say, 8 seconds left, somewhere around there. And literally just threw the ball to KCP. They had 8.5 seconds left, inbounded the ball, and just threw it right to KCP. He made both free throws, and that was that. So it was an impressive win. They're going to still have to grind out some of these games because they're just undermanned right now. It's not going to really be any prettier for the foreseeable future. There's also the news that AD isn't coming back, at least for another 2 weeks. But he is in, they worded it, he's in the return to play phase, but he's not going to be back for 2 weeks, which, as we've said before, I think you agree with me on this, just take your time, get him healthy.
Yeah.
However long it takes, and then we can go from there. But it's not going to be any prettier. It's going to be interesting to see. It's not a decision they have to make necessarily soon, but with how shorthanded they are, Damian Jones might be a right place, right time signing, and he might get signed for the rest of the year just because the Lakers don't have many bodies in the front court.
Yeah, I think the report that two-way players are going to be eligible for the postseason may change that a little bit. And by that time, Anthony Davis will hopefully be healthy.
Knock on wood.
Yeah. But I think so. We got the news that Anthony Davis is going to be out at least two more weeks. Marc Gasol is going to be out another two games. The same apparently is true of Kostas Antetokounmpo. The biggest news that came out on Sunday was the fact that Jared Dudley tore his MCL.
Yeah.
Which, we're not going to speculate on the severity of the injury yet because we don't know. It hasn't been laid out in explicit terms exactly what that means. But the fact that they didn't specify a grade or a partial tear of the MCL would lead one to believe that Jared Dudley just straight up tore his ACL. MCL. I haven't seen anybody report otherwise. The fact that he's evaluating his treatment options suggests that it will probably have to be surgically repaired. So for all we know, or our best guess is that Dudley's out for the season, as is the case for MCL tears. The Lakers missed the deadline to apply for that disabled player exception. That was on March 3rd. The good news for them, I guess, is that the difference between what they would have gotten with a disabled player exception, which is half of what the player is making that season, that half of their average salary. For Jared Dudley, that's the veteran's minimum. So, you know, they weren't going to be competing with any teams, any heavy hitters for, you know, guys like Andre Drummond that are expected to hit the buyout market. So that was a non-starter to begin with. The bad news is I don't know how much room they have under the hard cap to sign three veterans minimum players. Like, we might be looking at a scenario where Jared Dudley stays on the roster just because they can't sign anybody else. I think in any other circumstance, like we saw last season, the Lakers cut ties with DeMarcus Cousins, seemed to like him, like having him in the locker room. Maybe Jared Dudley is a better version of that. Maybe they really, really value what he brings to the locker room and the fact that they brought him back in spite of him not playing much last season, I think is indicative of that. But if this were any other season with the position that the Lakers are in, and you know, if the things were different financially, I could totally see them cutting ties with Jared Dudley for somebody who's actually going to give them minutes. I do not see that happening with the numbers crunch they have under the hard cap.
Yeah, my first thought when I saw the news, well, one of my first thoughts is that I didn't think that they were going to cut him, mainly for the reasons you laid out. I just don't think they can. I don't think that they can. I mean, I don't know the math. I know the math was really tight for them to really even be able to afford to sign a veteran minimum guy. They obviously had to, I don't remember what the date specifically was, but they had to wait to a certain date just because they were hard capped. So, I mean, they already waived Quinn Cook. So they already have the roster space available between just the money side of it. And as well, as you mentioned, I mean, he's a good veteran. The guys seem to respect him, LeBron and AD specifically. He's somebody worth keeping around in that regard. So I think ultimately he probably stays on and just stays around the team through his treatment. The way it's phrased, he's evaluating his treatment options, makes me think that the first opinion was surgery to repair it that yep. ended the season, and he's looking for other opinions to see if he can find a way to play on it, basically, and get surgery after the season. That's just me kind of reading into it. I don't right. know necessarily that that's true, but I'm sure he's trying everything he can to be able to be on the court because, honestly, he probably doesn't have many seasons left. This may be it. He's 35 years old. He missed a chunk of games this year with a calf injury. So he probably doesn't have many years left anyway. So, and the Lakers need big bodies for all the reasons we just mentioned. As much as it seems like he wants to be out there, I it just hopefully he can, but I think he probably stays with the team just because of the numbers crunch. I also don't really know if Damian Jones is signed to a two-way, which I think might be likely. With all due respect to Kostas, I don't think there's going to be anything happening there. He's had a couple years with the Lakers now, and it doesn't seem like there's really any notable improvements. And especially with how short man the Lakers are, they need that roster spot for somebody that can contribute. So I could see them signing Damian Jones to that two-way, which would allow him to be eligible for the playoffs, and then signing one of the buyout guys, whether it's Drummond, whatever names are going to be thrown out there, Otto Porter, whoever it ends up being, sign one of those guys to the open roster spots is ultimately how I see it probably playing out. And then Dudley just staying on the roster, because I don't really know that they could – they have the room for that many buyout guys anyway. There aren't a ton of holes in the rotation, and the only holes that are there now are there because of injury. So when AD and Gasol get back – like, Damian Jones is probably not going to see the court anymore. So I don't really know how much you need those guys long-term, but in the short-term, you just need bodies on the court.
Jacob, I'm going to be completely honest with you, and I'm going to give you all the props right now. When I brought up the fact that two-way players could be eligible for the postseason, I wasn't even thinking Damian Jones.
That's what I thought you were. I was going to give you credit for it. No, that's what I thought. It's. I'm a little surprised that they haven't went to Devontae Kaycock either, just as another body. I mean, they might have to. Maybe they don't re-sign Damian Jones, and maybe they give Kaycock some run. I don't know when his 10-day is up. I don't know specifically when he signed officially his other 10-day contract, because you can only sign two. So I'm looking at it now. It was March 11th that it was reported he would sign a second 10-day contract. So you're looking at around the 21st or so, which they have five more games between now and then. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how the timeline works out. Maybe Gasol's back by then. But, yeah, that's what I thought you were – referencing. We'll pretend to give each other credit on that. I could see them signing Damian Jones to one of those two-way spots.
Yeah, I think that is a brilliant idea. Again, all due respect to Kostas, but Giannis signed his extension.
Work here is done. I was kind of beating around the bush, but that always felt like why he was here. You got the ring before Giannis did. You'll have that to hang over him. It seemed like he was a fun guy to be around the locker room, but as I said, they need guys that can actually contribute on the floor, and Kostas is a long way from that even still. I don't know that he'll ever be at that level.
Yeah. The other bit of good news for the Lakers is the depth they have at the four, right? Even without Jared Dudley, you have Anthony Davis, who, you know, despite the fact that he hasn't played in a while, I think is pretty good. That's just my opinion. Kyle Kuzma obviously is having his best season since his rookie season, and honestly, his best season ever.
I'd make the argument that this is better than his rookie season.
Yeah, he's played phenomenally. I've really enjoyed watching him play this season. I'm bummed I missed Friday's game, but nevertheless, Kyle Kuzma, Markieff Morris, who was having trouble cracking the rotation as is, which is, you know, part of the reason, or not part of the reason Jared Dudley wasn't playing. Jared Dudley wasn't gonna play, like regardless. He had a little playing time because of the fact that AD's injured and Marc Gasol being injured. But yeah, Dud's great locker room guy. Don't know how much he has left in the tank on the court. That's the good news for the Lakers. If they have to roll into the postseason with what will ultimately end up being a 16-man roster, 14 guaranteed contracts, two two-way contracts. One being Damian Jones would be incredible. And if that's the case, I think they're going to be fine. What they are going to do with their final two roster spots remains to be seen. But I think given the timing of the Damian Jones 10-day contract, I think they're going to wait until after the trade deadline to sort that out. We're going to take a quick break, and then we will talk more Lakers basketball. And we are back, and I think we have some breaking news from Jacob.
We're gonna break news that we already wrote. So I wasn't sure on the rules. What I realized as I said that Damian Jones thing, there's probably a reason nobody else had said it. So I looked it up while you were talking at the end of that, and then during the break, Damian Jones can't sign a two-way contract.
Yeah. So
I am deeply sorry for getting your hopes up for that last segment, but so the rule is, only players with three or fewer years of service can sign two-way contracts, and Damian Jones is in his fifth year. So, I mean, just simply put, he's not eligible to sign a two-way contract.
So, okay, my understanding of the rules, and I think this was the case when two-way contracts were introduced in God, what was it, 2017, is that it was players with 4 years or fewer experience. I thought Damian Jones was in his fourth year, which is why I jumped on that train without even second guessing it. But I'm glad you cleared that up. But since you cleared that up, let's end the show by going into this, because I do think it is worth talking about, even if the Lakers aren't going to fill out that final roster spot just yet. Assuming Damian Jones gets that final roster spot, which I think happens if Andre Drummond doesn't sign with the Lakers as a free agent, I think that's pretty likely. Call me a pessimist, but the fact that the Nets have their disabled player exception and a glaring hole at center, I think that'll probably go to him. Assuming Damian Jones gets that spot, I am very, very, very interested to see what the Lakers do with that last spot. And I think when people have talked about that last roster spot and them wanting to wait past the NBA trade deadline, it's been widely talked about as the Lakers are going to see who's bought out after the trade deadline. I haven't seen a lot of people talk about the possibility or the reasoning for waiting past the trade deadline is because the Lakers don't know what their roster is going to look like past the trade deadline. I don't think the Lakers are going to make an earth-shattering move because they just don't have the contracts for it. However, Alphonso McKinney in a second-round pick, I think, can get you a better player than Alphonso McKinney. For example, Wayne Ellington, Harry Giles III. And I'm not even confident Harry Giles III is a better player than Alphonso McKinney, but somebody that will at least play more on this team. I wouldn't say I would guarantee the Lakers make a trade before the trade deadline, because I don't think that's the case. I just think given the holes on this roster, particularly as it pertains to depth on the wing and three-point shooting, I'd say it's far more likely that they make a trade this year than it was this time last year.
Wayne Ellington's interesting. Again, I watched Detroit play on Thursday. He's still the gunner he always was, even when – I mean, it's been a long time since he's been a Laker, even though he has been rumored to the Lakers – seems like ever since he left 2014-15, that was even longer than I realized. He played 65 games for the Lakers and damn near averaged a career high in points. Those are really bad Laker teams, obviously. He is shooting 42% from three this season and 23 minutes a game. He'd be an interesting one to go after. The Pistons just sent away a second round pick to get Hamadou Diallo. So I don't, maybe they're in the market for second round picks now. And you attach one with Alphonso McKinney to get Ellington. I don't know how much other value he would have.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm assuming, I mean, I know you live on the trade machine, so I'm assuming that trade works out.
Correct.
Financially. So, I mean, on paper, that makes sense. That fits a need for the Lakers. I think shooting is probably the thing they need to address the most, even more so than a big man. I think a lot of the talk about the Lakers' need for a big is kind of reactionary.
Yeah, 100%.
Because, I mean, again, just think back to the playoffs. Because, like, Dwight and JaVale had the first round series against a really weird Blazers team. And then, like, a few, Dwight mainly, after the first round series, JaVale just was kind of useless, with all due respect. Other than his vlogs. His vlogs are incredible. But Dwight had a few games here and there where he turned into the Batman and was yelling about the Joker to Jokic. And outside of that, he really didn't do a whole lot. So, I mean, I don't see this huge need to go find an Andre Drummond, a JaVale if he becomes available through a third team or something, guys like that, because ultimately you're getting a guy that might help in one series. And then, I mean, Dwight and JaVale were cheerleaders for 75% of the playoffs last year.
The finals especially.
Yeah, Dwight played a little bit, but when it really mattered, Dwight was benched, and JaVale never played, I don't think ever played in the finals until the very end of that last game. You have Gasol and you have AD. That's your center rotation in the playoffs, with maybe some Keith minutes mixed in. But that's it. So I don't really see this huge need to go get a big man. I mean, obviously, as we discussed quite a bit, they need one right now, but they need one simply because they just don't have bodies.
Yeah.
Shooting, on the other hand, you could never have too much of. So I see that as a bigger need, whether it's a Wayne Ellington, whether it's more of a forward like Otto Porter, I know, was a name that was mentioned as a potential buyout. I don't know if he's going to be bought out. I would honestly be a lot more interested in Otto Porter than I would be Andre Drummond.
Absolutely. Could not agree more.
Or somebody along those lines. I haven't looked too deeply into the buyout market and who might be available. But to me, I think the Lakers will focus more on shooting and getting, like I said, you can never put too many shooters around LeBron and AD. If you get guys like Ellington, it'll help immensely. And I think I can see scenarios where Wayne Ellington is playing, even if it's just spot minutes in playoff series, more so than I can see a third center basically playing in the playoffs.
Yeah. I think you nailed it there. Listen, I think it a center that can catch lobs, be more of a rim protector in the same way that JaVale and Dwight are and were last season, is more of a luxury than it is a necessity. I would not be mad if Damian Jones got one of the roster spots, but by no means do I think that is the biggest need on this year's team. For that reason, I won't be crushed if the Nets sign Andre Drummond. You know, maybe I'll be more hurt that they got stronger. and they're, you know, viewed as the Lakers' biggest competition for the title, maybe I'll be upset in that sense. But even then, I think, you know, we've talked about it quite a bit on this show, but ultimately the closing lineup, I think, is going to look almost identical to how it did in the playoffs last season. With the exception of, I think Kyle Kuzma has solidified his spot in that closing lineup. It's not who plays better between Markieff Morris and Kyle Kuzma. It's Kyle Kuzma. I think it's pretty clearly at this point in the season, it is. But the real debate for me at this point is whoever's playing better between Alex Caruso and Dennis Schroeder. Or honestly, even Dennis Schroeder and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
I was trying to think how the guards, I don't know. I mean, Schroeder's been really good, probably better than I anticipated, honestly. I don't know if it's enough to lock down a spot. It's interesting. The Lakers are so kind of versatile, flexible, that there's a couple different ways they can go.
Yeah.
I do agree that Kuzma's probably locked down one of those spots. And then basically you can just pick whatever guards are playing best. I would say it probably heavily leans. Actually, I don't know. I mean, it's not a bad thing to have KCP, Caruso, and Schroeder all playing really well, I think. It's certainly a good problem to have. So I don't know how that would look. I was just looking as well, and I forgot. PJ Tucker is going to be the other interesting name. I don't know. I mean, I know a couple of weeks ago you proposed that basically Montrezl Harrell for PJ Tucker trade. I didn't really know then how I felt about it, and I don't really know now how I feel about it.
Neither do I.
it's going to be interesting to see. I think PJ Tucker is a more, I don't want to say traditional fit, but a more, I mean, I guess in a sense kind of traditional with how we view small ball. Like he is a more common fit, I guess, next to LeBron and AD and kind of the small ball era than Trez is. And honestly, if they traded for him, I would almost say he would have a spot locked down in that closing lineup. I'm really high on PJ Tucker.
That is, well, okay. Usually I'd agree with you. I think he's been god awful this season, but in his defense, not that James Harden was god awful, but it doesn't seem like anybody's playing to their full potential with that Rockets team.
I'm going to look real quick. I saw the tweet earlier tonight. When do you think the Rockets last won a basketball game?
So I know they were on a losing streak before I went on vacation. I imagine they played at least one game since. Oh no, but that question is very leading. So I'm guessing, hold on. Math. What are they on, a 15 game losing streak?
I believe it stretched to 16 games on Sunday.
Oh, no. It's really bad.
They last won a basketball game on February 4th. I am not going to hold anybody's play in Houston against them right now. I have been high on PJ Tucker. I mean, I will basically go down with this ship. I was high on him in the off season, and I mean, I never knew Kuzma was going to play like this. I proposed a trade around Kuzma and PJ Tucker if the Lakers didn't think they could work out an extension for Kuzma. I just think, I mean, I've said this before, so I won't go too much. We just kind of have this idea of PJ Tucker as like a small ball center because he was asked to do that in that weird Rockets team. I think as a 3 and D guy, he would fit a role that the Lakers don't really have any of, and kind of those, kind of that 3-4 wing player type that can knock down threes. I would certainly feel a whole lot better coming up against the Clippers if PJ Tucker was on the roster.
Yeah.
And that's how I view a lot of these acquisitions, because I still see the Clippers as the toughest team to beat in the West. I think the Nets are a whole other juggernaut of their own. I haven't really thought too much about that, but I kind of weigh a lot of these acquisitions on how they would help in a series against the Clippers, and I would feel a lot better with PJ Tucker on the roster. But I don't know, because the Clippers aren't good at defending the paint, and that's where Montrezl Harrell will live. Can you imagine a 7-game series from Montrezl Harrell where he gets to go up against a Clipper team that he feels disrespected him? Like, that man would – that would be, even by his standards, just insane energy he would bring every night. Like, I can only imagine what he would be like in a series like that. So, again – as I started this kind of talk about PJ Tucker, I still have no idea whether I would do that trade or not. It very much feels like a trade you make, and then everybody in hindsight says, oh, they shouldn't have done that, or, oh, that was the greatest trade ever. I still have absolutely no idea whether you make that trade. I don't think there is, like, an objective answer to that. It'll be interesting to see what they do. I mean, in an ideal world, Houston just can't figure out any kind of trade. They buy him out, and he just comes to the Lakers for free. I don't foresee that happening. I think PJ Tucker has value.
Yeah, 100%.
And somebody will trade for him. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see if they explore that trade and whether the Rockets are interested. I don't know. I feel like the Lakers would probably have to include something else of value in that trade, because otherwise you're trading an expiring for an expiring, and I don't otherwise know why the Rockets would do that when they are fully and truly out of the playoff race now.
Yeah, I think I don't know if we have talked about it. I know we've talked about it in, like, our private conversations, but the tricky thing with finding a trade for Montrezl Harrell is you have to trade him to a team that's going to have cap space, because no team's going to have his full bird rights because he only signed a 1+1 deal with the Lakers. So that's the biggest issue. We have another podcast one more week to talk about trades, and then, if you can believe it, the trade deadline will be upon us. Maybe we'll have a trade before then. That would be nuts. I don't anticipate that will happen. But in the event that it does, we will hopefully have something to talk about. Until then, Jacob, do you have any predictions for the Lakers game against the Warriors on Monday?
It'll be fun. Hot take, Steph is a lot of fun to watch. So it's a couple fun games because Anthony Edwards is playing well, and then you get LaMelo Ball on Thursday. So it's a fun week of games, at least, coming up for the Lakers.
Yeah, Steph and Juan Toscano-Anderson, JTA, you joke, Steph's teammate. It's gonna be a fun one, and we hope you guys will tune in again next week. When Jacob, I'm letting you know now. We usually put together what we're gonna talk about in the show maybe an hour before. I'm letting you know a week in advance. If the Lakers don't make a trade by next Sunday, I will have a list of trades for you to say yes or no to. I'm telling you now, mentally prepare for it.
I'm ready for it.
All right. We will catch you guys all next week.